Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Full Coverage, a beauty podcast by beauty addicts for beauty addicts. We are your hosts. I'm professional makeup artist Harriet Hadfield, and we have the unprofessional but wonderful beauty junkie, Lindsay Kelk.
It's the nicest thing you've ever said.
I just can't commit still. I hate the word unprofessional. I'm like, she knows so much.
I mean, I can literally put you in touch with people who will tell you how unprofessional I am. Deadline, schmedline, taxes, schmaxes.
We've got a corker of a show.
We have, if only because we've just basically done the entire thing to ourselves.
We pretty much have. We've just talked about makeup for an hour and we were like, we really should be recording this. Like,
let's just look at what we've got on the script and let's look at what we've got on the table, and we just basically did the entire show. So yeah. Here's the second
now we're at it.
The first time with the microphones. I feel like I haven't seen you in ages, and I saw you on 3 days ago.
We were hiking though, so it was very serious.
Guys,
business.
We hiked.
We did. And can I point out, Lindsay's boyfriend Jeff is so pro at it. He had the sticks.
He did. He has got sticks. Oh, anyway, now that we've been hashtag so LA,
yeah,
we're going to move on with a ton of new news. And then after we've new newsed today, we are going to answer your questions.
We are.
Can you even believe it?
I really enjoy doing this. It's really exciting because I like, and I haven't seen the questions, so I quite like not knowing what you're going to throw at me.
I haven't seen all the questions because I just asked for them. I should point out there are literally hundreds.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, everybody, on our Facebook group and on our Facebook page. We might not get some all today, but we'll get to as many as we can. We can always do a part two. Such is the glory of the pod.
The glory of the pod.
So we're going to crack on with new news. And where shall we start? Shall we start with the collab that was announced, I think, a couple of days ago? Very, very exciting.
Are you talking about the Kim and Mario?
I am talking about the Kim and Mario.
KKW.
KKW times M.
I was going to say Inda House. I was like, we totally don't have.
Imagine Kate, if we were.
Not Kate. Who's Kate? Where?
Kate and Kim and
all
Mario.
The K's. Just sat in Silver Lake. Yeah,
like,
with the cats.
Just introducing them quickly. They're just here for new news. We've got no other questions for them. I actually would quite enjoy that.
That would get us a lot of hits, to be fair.
Do you think so? Maybe we'll reach out. Would you like to have Kim Kardashian wear some Mario on the pod? Let us know. We'll give it our best shot.
Yes.
But I will tell you now.
We highly doubt it.
Snowball's chance in hell. But anyway, have you been watching Glam Masters on Lifestyle?
No, but I saw him announce it on, I think, his Instagram with a picture of Kim wearing some of the eyeshadows.
I've been watching Glam Masters where Mario is a judge. It's like America's Next Top Model for makeup artists.
But
that's
fun.
That's another story all along. We should actually probably try and get one of those girls on it, because I bet they'd be interesting to chat to after going through something like that.
Ooh, good call.
Onto the collab. Yes, I saw the same thing. Collab? I don't know. I saw it on Instagram. I saw it on Mario's Instagram. And it's launching April 5th. So mere days away, people. Prepare thy clicking fingers, because it will sell out.
Yeah.
Looks to me like it's a 10-shade palette.
Quite a few neutrals in there.
Coppers,
sort of golds.
And then a bright, bright blue.
Yes.
Reminded me, which I'm sure won't help us get them on the pod, a lot of the Pat McGrath original three palettes that had a lot of neutrals and a big, bright blue.
Yep.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No.
There's nothing wrong with that. If they're the colours. I know Mario has made a statement and said, hey, I think a lot of people have been saying this reminds them of something. I imagine that's what it is. and he made a statement saying it shouldn't remind you of anything because it's the colours that me and Kim have used over the last 10 years on her face, which is great. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I love the authenticity of that, that this is the these are the colours that
she
they
wears.
Use.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then there are also two high shine glosses and a lipstick. So, I don't know. I've never really been intrigued by KKW Beauty.
No, and I think it's one of those things. I remember when the contour sticks came out and the lip glosses came out, in all honesty, it just wasn't for me. I bought the lip glosses.
I'd totally forgotten.
I had a pick. They were nice. They weren't bad. They were nice. But there was nothing for me that was groundbreaking. I'm not really one for, I mean, in terms of cream contours, my favorite is still the Kevin Aucoin, the wand, I can't remember what it's called now, like the liquid wand.
I know what you mean.
So for me, that's my go-to. And also that has different shades in, which I've always really liked. Yeah, so it just wasn't something that was for me. But again, that's not to say it isn't good. I know some people really liked it.
I know the highlighters that came out recently, they've had really great reviews. Everywhere I've seen them be reviewed, it's been really good reviews. I think a couple of people questioned the shade range inclusion-wise.
Yeah.
The only thing I would say on that, again, I haven't got them and I haven't tried them, but I will say they were brightening concealers. So.
Right.
I think some people were expecting to see a lot of deep, darker tones in there, but they weren't cover-up concealers. So I don't know if that was a little bit of an unfair criticism.
Right.
Because as you know, as a makeup artist, if you're doing it for brightening, you're looking for more of that corrector tone.
Yes, and slightly lighter shade than your actual concealer.
So that was harsh. I mean, I'm not, again, I am the lightest, whitest lady that ever lived, so I'm in no position to tell anyone what they should and shouldn't expect from a concealer range. But I mean, it was a pretty hefty range. There were a lot of colours in there. But that's definitely something we'll see whether or not she addresses that in future. But I am quite tempted by this palette. It does look pretty.
I definitely am excited to see it like in its finished form.
Yeah.
I'll definitely have a look. I don't know if I'll be buying it.
You can have a play with mine.
I was going to say, let's be real. Lindsay will buy it. I mean, like.
I'll be there on April 5th going like, come on, baby. Add to cart.
It's midnight. Yeah. So I'm sure when you get your mitts on it, I'll have a look. I'll have a gander.
Oh, I did buy my first Kylie product recently, actually, as well. I bought a Kylie highlighter.
I've heard really good things about the Kylie, the eyeshadows. I've heard good things about.
I bought the highlighter palette from the Weather collection, from the Stormy collection, which I haven't tested yet. But I will, and I'll tell you all about that when I've tried it. Got another new launch, which is coming your way any day now. It's in the new launch from Benefit.
Oh, okay. And this is a foundation, isn't it, Lindsay?
It is a foundation.
I feel like they've not done for a while.
Hello Happy Foundation. Oh God, I want to love you, Benefit. Please be good. This is just news. We haven't got it. We haven't tested it. I don't think anyone has.
In like the Chanel Vitalumière size kind of packaging.
Squeezy bottle the win.
Like that.
Sheer to medium coverage. Like finding the positives. Sheer to medium coverage, SPF 15.
Sounds good. Sounds great.
Only 14 shades. But if it's sheer to medium, that could be quite forgiving.
Well, let's see. I mean, I feel like I like what they're telling me it's going to be formula-wise. So I think we have to see when we get our hands on it what we're kind of looking at.
As soon as we get this, we'll let you know more.
Yeah.
Again, when first impressions on it was the packaging. It's another new strand of packaging.
Yeah.
For Benefit. And you guys, I know we are not your marketing department and you do not care for our opinion, but like, come on. Also, presumably we'll just delete this all when we get invited to their party in the Maldives. It's funny because we won't.
And you guys can laugh at us and be like, I remember that time.
Yeah, they said they hated that foundation. Now look at them playing in Grenada.
Well, to be fair, we might like it. We haven't tried
it. We might like it.
Let's not eat our words before we've even...
We haven't even tried it.
You know what
I mean. But the one thing I do know for certain is we will not be invited to the...
It's safe to say.
...the trip to Grenada. So you'll be pleased to know that when we do have an opinion, it will be all of our own. We've got some new stockist information. Lots of people getting lots of brands.
I feel like there's been a lot of new products coming that have been more widely available in certain areas or certain countries or certain stores, or perhaps originally were just available online. We have Herbivore, which is now going into Space NK... I believe it's that in the UK
that's
and
in the
US.
UK. I think it's in the US too. Yeah,
yes.
I mean, we can already get it pretty easily here.
I know you can buy it on Sephora US online, but not in store. I think Herbivore's had mixed opinions. I quite like it. Again, I don't feel like there's any groundbreaking. You know, it's not going to be your acids. It's not going to be your actives. I feel like it's nice for hydration. Naturally inspired, you know, I know loads of people hate the word non-toxic, but that's kind of what they brand themselves
as. I went into, I don't know if you've been to the Credo stores yet.
No.
The new natural skincare and makeup beauty stores popping up around LA, possibly all over the States, I'm not sure, but there's a couple here. I went in on Sunday and we walked in and the first thing she said to me, she was like, welcome to Credo, can I help you here today? And we were like, we're just browsing, thank you. And she's like, okay, so everything here is going to be cruelty-free. It's going to be non-toxic. And the second she said it, I was just, I could hear Hyrons in my head.
Yeah, I know, that's
like,
it.
Shut up.
I can, like, when I say it, I feel toxic? Like, yes. And I get it, you know, for me, it doesn't matter if some things, I mean, obviously I prefer it not to be toxic, but even that word sounds really scary when you say it without the non part.
And there's me, but, like, merrily drinking a Diet Coke going, like, I don't give a shit.
Love that Aspartame team or...
Aspartame. Get it in me.
No, I ultimately, I want my products to work. And that's the same with my kit. Product has to work. That is my the single most important reason I'm using it is because it does what I want it to do, whether that's color payoff, whether that's hydration, whether that's covering, what it, you know, my main purpose for choosing a product is how it works. So however, that will be coming to Space NK.
And I love that. I've got the jasmine oil. And yeah, I love the
body glow.
I love the
face
spritz. It's gorgeous. Yeah. I think we need to get someone on the pod to explain to us what this non-toxic movement is and what parabens are and what phthalates are and what SLS is and does. Because I have a knowledge, but I don't have...
Same here. And there's mixed opinions on it. I feel like there's you know, always two sides to every story. And I feel like there's definitely... Again, everyone's kind of got an opinion on... on whether they are bad, whether they're not, and in what doses, etc. So we'll see what we can do with that, guys. Very exciting, Lindsay. Chanel is going to be in Ulta.
I'm going to be so poor.
Yeah, we're going to have no money. But then on the flip side, Colourpop is also going to be in Ulta. So that's exciting.
So what you're telling me is I can go in to buy some super bargainous Colourpop and then accidentally buy a $40 lipstick at the same time.
Yes, and fantastic. Life will be wonderful.
Fantastic.
So we have that. That's exciting news as well.
I do love it. I've recently renewed my love for Ulta.
I love Ulta. I can spend a lot of time in there. I like that there's the hair stuff, like your hair dryers, and I don't know. I just feel like I can spend a lot of time in
Ulta.
I like Ulta.
That it is a real mix of prestige and drugstore.
Yes, me too.
And this just really does reinforce that, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's like, Colourpop on one side of the shop, Chanel on the other. I'll take both. Thank you. And especially now MAC's in there as well.
Yeah, brilliant.
Bonkers. So good. Another new launch, which I'm not saying turn off this podcast and go and buy it right now because it's limited edition and it will sell out, but we'll be here if you need to do that. It is that time of year, which is very exciting because I know the weather has been dreadful for so many people for so long. Estee Lauder's Bronze Goddess collection is upon us.
Summer is near.
Summer is near. I love Bronze Goddess. I love the smell of the perfume.
Yeah, I love the fragrance.
It just makes me so happy. And I know that sounds so silly coming from someone who would rather dip her face in tar than dip her face in bronzer because I'm not a bronzer person. But the Bronze Goddess collection, it makes me think of summer. It's like the Tom Ford Soleil.
It is. It really
makes me
is.
So happy. Yeah. And the hero product this year for me, far and away, the highlighter is always beautiful.
Yeah,
it's usually too warm toned for me to use, but I love it as a collector item. This year there is an eye and cheek palette which has blown my tiny mind. It's beautiful to look at, sort of like a round rose gold with a little teal almost enamel clasp, and it's got a very very pretty pink blush, a very easy to wear champagne-y colored highlighter, and then some neutrals in the eyeshadows, and then a little pop of teal.
Little popper teal. Yeah, very nice for traveling.
Sounds
I think
a lot
that'd
like
be great.
Cockatiel. Like, and that in general, it's like a popper teal cockatiel. It's perfect if you were going on holiday.
Yeah, mascara foundation, you're done.
Yeah, I loved it. I'm so happy about that.
So another exciting launch, which we were very, very kindly sent all the shades of, was by Urban Decay. And that is the Hi-Fi lip glosses, which are $20 each. Now, it's funny, when me and Lindsay both saw these, I was like, oh, I just want to touch them. The packaging, I think I'm going to say it. This is my favorite Urban Decay packaging yet.
This is.
You can see the
colour
through both sides, so you can see exactly how much lip gloss is left, which I love. Yep. I love that you'll actually see how much is in the package. You can see exactly what the colour is, so great to hold up to your lips.
Yep.
Very comfortable wear, long wear gloss, super shiny, cushiony soft. And for me, I said to Lindsay, the reason I got so excited by this is because there's some amazing like halo colours in there, and I would wear this on the eyes as well, I'm going to say it.
And as soon as you
I totally
that
wear
to
them
me,
on the
I
eyes.
Got super giddy. Sorry, that took me a minute because I'm currently applying.
She's putting it on.
Light
that looks
podding.
So pretty on
oh
you.
Oh my god, it so makes me so happy. I love them. I think the packaging is great. Super light, but not
so
in a cheap
on
way because it is so pretty. Yeah. You get a decent amount of product. It's 7 mils. That's crazy. 0.23 fluid ounces in each tube. For $20. That's great. Slightly minty, but not aggressively so, more scent than flavor, I would say. Mm. There's that very, very, very faint tingle of like, oh, there's something minty on me.
Slightly plumping.
I am beyond joyful because one of the shades, the one I just applied, is my beloved Big Bang.
Which they brought back, you
which
said.
They brought back. I mean, it's been and gone in like lip color and Vice. But my Big Bang Urban Decay story is it was, while I was in college, and Urban Decay was like the biggest extravagance you could ever possibly imagine for a poor, poor college student from Doncaster. And I had two. I had Hot Pants, which was this beautiful pearlized pale pink which isn't in this set, but there's kind of a dupe, so that's fine. And I had Big Bang, which was this. It's like a raspberry, bright bluish pink with a ton of glitter in it.
But it looks so good on you. I feel like so it's so pretty.
And this was my going out gloss. And back in the days of lip gunk, it smelled like aftershock. It smelled like cinnamon. And
apple sours, that was my treat.
Oh, man, yeah. It smelled like red aftershock. And I just have such... like almost violent memories of joy of that lip gunk. And these glosses are a very different formula. The lip gunk, as you can imagine, was a lot heavier. It was very opaque, but it was gorgeous and wonderful to wear. And these are, in their own way, also gorgeous and wonderful to wear. I am so happy. This is my favorite Urban Decay launch in a very long time.
It got me so excited.
Yeah, there isn't a dud in the collection.
No.
I just think it's fantastic. And there's such a reasonable price, $20. Yeah. We don't have the UK price yet, but God,
I think they
so
layer
good.
Well as well, Lindsay. That's the other thing I've noticed. Like, you could use some of them as like a top coat over the more opaque colours. So my pick of all these.
You can even use that as a highlight.
I was going to say, Candy Flip for me is rainbow, unicorns, mermaids, all thrown into a lip gloss. It's what wonderful things are made of. And for me, I'm totally going to wear that in my eyes. That's amazing. I love it.
I'm probably going to wear it as a highlighter. I totally love it. You've met me. Just while we're on the subject of Urban Decay, this is a quickie because this is already out and I know people have talked about it. We really just wanted to mention it because it's been vaguely controversial.
And we've both tested it out, haven't we?
We've both tested it and we've both got on with it.
Yeah.
So it's the Back Talk palette, which launched a few weeks ago. It is a face and eye palette. There are 8 eye shades in there and... well, sort of.
They're
two
like
blushes and two
and
highlighters,
like...
but Low-Key is a peachy highlighter that I can use as a shimmery blush.
I was going to say, I've worn that with more as a blush, I think.
Yeah,
when I've
whereas
worn it.
Double Take is very matte and Cheap Shot is a purpley colour that is a little shimmery. And then there's Party Foul, which is definitely a highlighter.
Yeah.
So this palette, I mean, I really like it. Basically, what I want to say straight up is I really like it.
Mm.
I got along with colours. The pigment was great. For me, in the eyeshadows, I was able to do a look without dipping into anywhere else to find other colours. I took it away with me for a weekend and it was basically all I used. Other people I know have had issues with it because of, the mirror. So the mirror in the middle of the palette is magnetic and it comes away. You can fully remove it, which for me was great because I was staying in a hotel that didn't have a window... a mirror near a light source or near a window. So I was able to just like whip it out, check out my mirror, check out my makeup by natural daylight. And I was very happy. Yeah. Other people have not enjoyed it as much.
I think it's that thing, like I was saying, my issue with it is if you say you drop the mirror or you smash it, then you're going to have bits of mirror in between both sections of the powders.
Yeah.
And say you lose the mirror, you then actually can't properly close
it.
There's like a gap.
You're right.
Which to me... again, I'm a born problem solver in my head. So I get it. I don't hate it.
Yeah.
And for me, I love the colours. The colours for me are bang on trend. Not that that's the reason that I'll buy makeup, but you know, again, for my kit, I know there'll be things I'll be working with when I work with magazines. And I just feel like for those of you who like the NARS Wanted palette and wanted slightly more pinks than reds, this is very close to that, I feel like. You get those nice subtle shimmers. You've got intense pigments with the pinks. You've still got a few matte transition shades. And I actually think this is a very, very wearable palette for spring.
Me too. And I honestly think if you took out the shade, which is sort of a pearly, purpley, reddy, pinky, magenta, you've actually got a super neutral palette. I mean, it's not that far away from the Naked Heat or from
does seem somewhere, you know, it's not too warm and not too cool. I feel like it's somewhere in the middle, which I think a lot of people will like it for that reason.
Bear and Curve, which are the two nudie taupe colors, a sort of shimmery nudie taupes, and I wore those just in the daytime and they were fantastic. And then I would just get a bit of 180, which is a pearly brown in the crease and on the lash line to amp up at night. And then when I really wanted to go for it, I would use Attitude and Shade, which are the two
I love those. They're my two
darker
favorite
sort of fire colors.
Yeah,
but I really liked it. I'm so sad for the people that got a duff one. There must have just been a duff batch.
Maybe that's what happened. I mean, for me, I had no issue with pigment. I had no issue. There was no fallout for me. They were true to what I was saying say is a very reliable formula with Urban Decay eyeshadows. I think they've really stood the test of time because they're affordable compared to a lot of, you know, they sit somewhere in that kind of mid price range. So I think they're very accessible to a lot of people. You get a lot of pans when you buy an Urban palette.
And I think we've got the price for this one. I don't think it was crazy.
This one is $46.
And I think it's about 32 in England.
I think, yeah, around that price. I am wearing it on one of the photos on my Instagram at the minute at Harry Makeup. If you want to see it on the eyes, and I've taken a photo in daylight, so you can go and see. I think I am wearing the shades you said, Lindsay, which are Shade and Attitude.
Yeah.
And then I used a bit of WTF in the crease.
WTF. But yeah, let us know how you got on with that.
Yeah.
Because I am just really curious as to whether or not maybe some people just didn't get on with it, or if there was a duff batch. But yeah, just really
interesting. Let us know,
But we got on with it really well. We really liked
it. No complaints from me. Not sure about the mirror. That was all my, I can deal with that.
That's good to know. Like, just so you know. One thing that we're not able to deal with quite so well. I can't believe we're having to do this again because it's breaking my heart. Guys, this was so nearly my highlight of the week. It was so close to being my highlight of the week. While we're talking about palettes I've been traveling with lately.
Yeah.
So a lot of you will remember my issues with the Tarte Foil Finger Paints palette, which was a highlight of the week and I absolutely adored. It's cream to powder shadows. It was absolutely stunning. And it came in a palette that looked as though it had been dipped in the bottom of a fishbowl. I was soon alerted by one of our fantastic listeners to the fact that you could peel that off and then just have a lovely gold palette. And I was very happy. And then Tarte came out with this. And it's from their new mermaid collection. It's the Tarte Be a Mermaid and Make Waves palettes. $42. Don't have a UK price right now. Don't know where it's available for sure in the UK, but it is on Tarte.com and it is on Sephora, so you can get it. Now, this is going to split people right down the middle because I come to you as the world's greatest Little Mermaid fan ever.
Oh, like, I'm a Little Mermaid fan. I'll go that far.
I was a Little Mermaid till the cows come home. When I was a little girl, I wanted to be the Little Mermaid. I used to play the Little Mermaid. I went to see it live at the Hollywood Bowl last year when they performed it. Darren Criss was Prince Eric. I wasn't convinced by that at all. But I love the Little Mermaid. I love mermaid stuff. I'm a mermaid fan. I did a mermaid class.
You did.
I went to mermaid school.
You couldn't be any more of a fan if you tried.
I couldn't. I mean, unless I've got a giant frame poster of Splash downstairs. Like, if you threw me in the ocean, I would pray that I would grow a tail and gills and not just drown. But that's by the by. I saw this collection and was like, well, we've done mermaids feel a bit done lately, but let's give this a shot. And Tarte came out with this Be a Mermaid Make Waves palette. And it's a shell shape, an iridescent shell shape. I was like, okay, that's kind of cute. That's kind of cute.
Describe
when I saw the picture.
Describe my face right now, Lindsay.
I'm not, because I'm not done. I saw the picture online and I was like, that's kind of cute. Like, let's get a look. And I saw the shades online and I thought, wow, that's really beautiful. Again, we've got a lot of this season's reds, pinks, neutrals. But then again, with this pop of teal, which I've said we're seeing because spring, summer's coming. So there's a splash shade, which is, I would say, is a metallic teal. There's Lagoon, which is an absolutely stunning navy blue that's metallic. And then there's Bubbles, which is the most bonkers duochrome.
As beautiful.
It's absolutely, absolutely insane. It's gorgeous. It's sort of a blue pink shift and it's stunning. And then the others are all very, very wearable. Reds, pinks, golds, neutrals.
Mm.
So that's the good part of it. And it wears like a dream. It applies like a dream. The bad part is when the shell packaging arrived, I don't know what I thought it was going to be, but it is a big old padded leatherette iridescent shell. I don't know how to feel.
I feel like you're waiting for my input because I'm just like,
I'm just waiting for you to say something awful about it because I can't.
Do you know what I'm learning, Lindsay? You can't judge a book by its cover, because
you
inside
can if it's a book, because I write books for a
all
living,
right, you can all
book,
right,
the book cover jacket. I have this argument all the time. The people that design the book covers work really hard. It is literally their job for you to judge that book by that cover. So you can't judge any, when people say the saying don't judge a book by its cover, that's true of everything except for books, in which case you should definitely judge a book by its cover. Anyway, carry on.
I think it's so that upsetting thing where the adult in me is like, I love the colors, I love the formula, it performs, I'd happily wear it on myself, I would use it. I just feel like I don't want something that looks like a 6-year-old's Polly Pocket for my makeup. It's just not my jam. I get that some people are like into the cutesy packaging. And I like we've said it with the Too Faced diamond thing, like that was fun and kitsch.
Yeah.
But I don't know, it wasn't naff. This to
There's
me
a difference
a bit
between
naff.
Kitsch and naff.
And I know that, like, the difference is I know I could find those beautiful colours in another palette without having to have a great
so
big, gaudy, like, I mean, I don't even know how to describe it. You did a very good Little Mermaid Under the Sea impression.
I did. When Harry came in and I presented it to her, I used it as sort of like a Muppet puppet and performed Under the
and
Sea.
And it looks like a toy. It looks, do you know what it is? It looks cheap. That's what it is.
It does. It's sad.
I'm sorry. Like, I love Tarte's makeup. I love the products. I think these eyeshadows are stunning. And I get that this is their aesthetic, but it's just not for me.
But it doesn't even feel like Tarte to me. It's so novelty based. It's like, I want to give this to a 14-year-old who is obsessed with a Little Mermaid.
Who would fucking love
14,
it?
Like a 12-year-old who is obsessed with Little Mermaid, who would love it.
Themselves.
But as a 37-year-old woman who's obsessed with Little Mermaid, it's harder because like it doesn't fit in my palette stash in my drawer because I have like I know. I'm not winning myself any fans here, but I've got like mini shelves built into my drawer so that I can stack all my palettes. It doesn't fit because it's so puffy and like padded. I don't want it out on my vanity because it looks like a child's toy.
Yeah.
It's so confusing. I want to love it because I genuinely do love palettes. And it's not priced as a toy. It's $42.
No. And I think, makeup. You know, I like the fact that the shades are good. You get quite a few shades for $42. But I just look at that. I'm like, no, I don't want it.
It's breaking my heart because it's fantastic. And if you love it, then yay you. Go for your life.
Yay you.
Absolutely.
Exactly. Each to their own. You do you.
Love it. Mermaid the shit out of it because it's awesome. And the colours are stunning.
They are.
And the wear time is great. And some people have complained about the pan size being quite small and a lot of wasted space.
I think it's even the shape looks like kid makeup. You know when you buy kid makeup, the way they're cut.
They're shell-shaped. Even the pans are shell-shaped, which can make it quite tricky to get into the little bit at the end that's narrow. But honestly, when I very rarely finish a palette. So I wasn't super upset about that. I just am really upset that I don't want people to see me using it.
If you got that out on the tube or something, people would be like...
Yeah, be like, don't mind me, darling.
Don't mind me with my...
I'm just under the
girl talk freebie.
Under the sea.
Anyway, moving on from that, I feel like lovely product inside and I will... Yeah. Yeah.
Go to the other end of the spectrum.
To the other end of the spectrum. The spectrum. So at the other end of the spectrum, we have a very, very exciting launch. And I cannot wait for everyone else to see this because I've already had a play with it and I really liked it. It's the Sunday Riley. Sunday Riley, the skincare brand, are launching slowly into colour and they are bringing out their first foundation, which is going to be called the Influencer Foundation. It's a matte satin finish. It's long wear. It's true to skin looking, but with coverage. There's no SPF, I believe. So again, it's great for photos, things like that. You can just add your SPF separately. And from what I've seen so far, I think this is probably one of like my favorite matte foundations I've tried yet.
Ooh.
Statement.
I am very excited. Yeah, it's really interesting because for a long time when skincare brands were doing makeup, I wasn't interested. And when makeup brands were doing skincare, I wasn't interested. But I think that's changing. I think people are learning to do both. And people that do it well are killing the game.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited. And it's only $20.
Yeah, I think it's really affordable. Squeezy tube.
Yay!
That's for the win. So very excited about that. And I think there's 20 or 22 shades. So quite a good shade range as well in this. I'm very excited. Yeah, for a first launch, I think this is going to impress a lot of people. So I'm excited for you guys to see it and see what you think.
As soon as we get that, we will, of course...
Let you know.
Try out more, but yeah, lucky Harry getting a little play,
a little sneak peek.
See, that's why you're the professional makeup artist, and I'm the unprofessional idiot sat at home buying mermaid palettes.
Together we come one.
Performing under the sea when my friends come over. Today's main feature, because we've had a couple of interviews the last few episodes. Thank you, Dr. K. Thank you, Sally Hughes.
Yeah, you awesome people.
You awesome people. And Sally's double awesome because she's coming back for part two in our next episode.
To be continued.
To be continued. There was just too much awesomeness for one episode. So what we thought would be fun this week was to answer some of your questions because we've had a few.
We've had a few.
We've had one or two.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you so much.
Yeah, and when I say one or two, there's actually hundreds. I've got a tree's worth of questions.
Yeah. See how we get through them.
Most of them came from our Facebook group. Thank you so much for everyone that's in our awesome Facebook group. You know how much we love you. And if you would like to join said Facebook group, you can pop along to facebook.com/fullcoveragepodcast. And the top post, the top pinned post, is a link to our Full Coverage Beauty Banter group. You can click on that. You will, in mere seconds, be approved. You do have to be approved, unfortunately. So we've got to keep the riffraff
out. It's legit.
Yeah. It's basically, we're trying to keep our group a safe, wonderful space where people won't be upsold weird things from multi-marketing companies. And
disguised as beauty lovers.
Disguised as beauty lovers. And people are doing that, which I was really upset about. Because I'm like, who would do that? Who would do that to our lovely group? But they will, because they're mean. But they won't be allowed in, so you will be safe. So please come and join us in the Facebook group. And then you could ask us wonderful questions like these and have them answered on the pod.
On the pod.
So let's get started. First question, Sophie Louise, what is your signature go-to look when you're in a rush to get ready?
A flick.
It is. There you go. Harry's is a flick.
Harry flick every time. I feel naked without it. I've experimented without it recently, but I always go back to it.
Yeah. It's what makes you feel good, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, mine's the same. If I know I've got to be in a place and I've got to look as like prepared and not just like hiya, I'll definitely do base, because my skin tone is very uneven, so I'd feel like I need a base. I'll do Dior lip glow in pink, original pink, because that's my go-to lip.
Yeah.
And then I would just do mascara and a tight line.
Yeah.
I would get a little bit of black eyeliner in the roots of them there lashes.
Does finish things off nicely.
Yeah, it just makes me feel like finished,
a bit more put together.
Question two, might be the best question ever. I don't want to upset anyone else, but it might be the best question ever. It's from Emma Guns.
Emma Guns is in the house.
In the house, who you may or may not know, but you absolutely bleed and well should. Mm. Emma Guns from The Emma Guns Show wants to know, how do we both get to be so awesome?
I don't feel very awesome.
We just had some technical difficulties.
Well, I was going to say, we're now repeating this question for the second time, and it feels even less awesome the second time.
Yeah, it's like we woke up and we were just like, we should be awesome. So we decided to be awesome. So we're awesome now.
Yeah, we can't do that one, can we?
No, we're not awesome. No. We've got a stupid podcast machine that made us repeat these questions because it hates us, because it hates everything. It's the patriarchy. Our podcast machine is the patriarchy. But thank you, Emma. Everyone, please go and check out Emma's show. She's the best.
She's amazing.
How did you get to be so awesome, Emma?
Not rhetorical question. We want to know.
Sarah Kingsley wants to know, what is your go-to long wear makeup for dry skin? It's got to be office appropriate, because her face eats all of her makeup.
Go-to for dry skin, I feel like Chanel Vita Lumiere, the normal one. I think that's really nice. That's nice and hydrating, kind of evens out the skin really nicely, and there's a good bit of coverage in there without it being a super heavy, too much foundation for daytime. Again, I think what we talked about, sort of that creating thin layers, so you know, layering things like your blush with like a liquid cream blush underneath and then a powder blush on top, so you've got that longevity, especially if your face is eating makeup.
Yeah, and if your skin is dry, make sure your skin prep is all in order, right? So you want to make sure you're properly moisturized.
Definitely.
Maybe a setting spray will help at the end of it all.
Yeah.
And worst case scenario, get that statement lip on.
Yeah.
And then it doesn't matter what else is on your face. Get that lipstick on. Yeah, it's office appropriate. It's always office appropriate. You're in an office and you're appropriate. Therefore, it's office appropriate. Get it on your chops. Gemma Marie, what's the one product you regret buying the most?
So I a while ago did a review of the Victoria Beckham for Estee Lauder range. The first range I was very happily in love, loved it all, loved the whole line pretty much. The second line she did with Estee Lauder, I feel like the things she rebought out that were already in the first line were great because they already existed in the first line. But the eyeshadows in particular in the second one, I just didn't really get on with. I was a bit like, I actually took them back. Yeah. And I wish now I had brought the translucent setting powder, because everyone says that was amazing. So I feel like I missed out there.
But it makes sense, because you went for the exciting colours that
those loads. And even the colours themselves, they kind of didn't really go. I don't know. It was just one of those things where I was like, it felt like four meh shades.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't get it.
that's not okay. We just didn't get it.
No. Whereas the first eyeshadow one with the six in, I love that. I wear that all the time still. I love it.
Yeah, me too. They're almost metallic. They're gorgeous.
Beautiful.
For me, it would be, there's two and it breaks my heart. The first one breaks my heart because I love them. I love them dearly, but I regret them still, which just goes to prove you can regret something you love.
Yeah.
It's the Pat McGrath eye palettes. And not necessarily these two that I have, although I do wish I'd only bought one because they're relatively similar. but the original Pat McGrath eye palettes, they're so expensive.
Yeah.
They're so heavy. I find them quite hard to get a cohesive look out of one on their own. I feel like I always end up using another palette to sort of transition or to blend. And I just never use them because they're just so heavy and cumbersome. I don't take them away with me because they're way too heavy to put in a kit. And yeah, I think it's one of those things where if I hadn't bought them, I would always be like, oh, I wish I had those palettes.
Yeah, you have to have brought it to know.
Yeah, but now I get them, I definitely regret them. If I could send them back, I would send them back because I just don't use them enough. It breaks my heart to say it. If I was regretting something because it was a big bag of poop, it was a Charlotte Tilbury Legendary Lashes Mascara.
I didn't get on with that either.
All over my face within
literally,
an hour.
Panda eyes galore.
Worst mascara I've ever used.
Yeah.
Apart and from the hype was so
big. I feel like I love Charlotte's products, but I feel like the mascaras are still my least favorite thing about the range.
I hope they've changed the formulation because I know some people get along with it.
Yeah, some people I know love it.
Yeah, so I really hope it is that they've changed the formulation and we just got duds at the beginning because that was not... I mean, I would just never recommend it. I would never recommend it. Laura Lucola wants to know, what do we think about boycotting certain brands and products? What's an absolute no-no that would stop us buying a brand or product? And can a brand and product recover from, inverted commas, losing face?
That's such a good question. And I think it's almost like a bigger discussion in itself. Yes. I feel like we're both sort of trying to think about how you answer this question. And I think it's kind of up to the individual. It's up to the individual what you feel comfortable with. I said myself, I definitely feel like there's been a lot of drama in the beauty industry recently. When is there not? but I do.
Spill their tea.
Yeah, I do feel like it's kind of, there are certain brand founders perhaps or brands that have behaved in ways in the past that if I had a brand or customers, I would never want to treat them that way. But each to their own. I don't know the inside and outs of what's going on in said companies. So I try to mind my own business where applicable. And I kind of think, you know, I know what, I guess I think it just depends on you as the individual, what for you would stop buying. I mean, I can't think of specifics here. I think it would have to be relative to what certain situation had happened or...
Unless someone killed someone.
In that case, you are a bad, bad person.
And no more makeup from you.
No more makeup.
Yeah, I feel the same. I think it's tough because I can think of myself as an individual on what I will and won't choose to buy. But then I think for the podcast, I think if something is news and it's newsworthy and I know our listeners are interested in it, then I want to cover it. But then I've said before, the way I feel about this is it's like Starbucks people that don't want to buy coffee from Starbucks because they're a multinational bad corporation. They don't like them, which is open to your own interpretation. Yeah. For me, if I don't like a brand owner, if I don't like a certain influencer who is creating a product, if I don't like the person responsible for the brand, I don't buy them and I won't give them oxygen. So that's not to say if a certain influencer was creating a product and you brought it in and you loved it or you thought it was really important news or it was your highlight, I would never say to you, I'm not having this on the podcast. I would just say like, okay, I personally don't have an opinion.
Yeah.
And I think that's the safest way to go about it. On the other end of the spectrum, I understand there are people who obviously don't want to use stuff because they're trying to live a cruelty-free lifestyle or a vegan lifestyle. I personally am not. I feel like a massive hypocrite saying that because obviously the last thing I want is animals to suffer for the sake of my makeup.
Of course.
And that is something that I sort of wrestle with quite often. Mm. I'm like, oh, I don't really want to encourage or buy products that aren't cruelty-free. In my dream world, all brands are cruelty-free. Yeah. I don't think there's any need for it in this day and age.
No, I think that's the sad reality is there isn't any need for it.
Yeah, and that is hard and I do wrestle with that. But in the interest of the podcast and covering as wide of a range of products as we can, we do, but it would be hypocritical of me to say I'm only doing it for the podcast because I know I do personally buy into brands that are part of companies that test on animals. And I hate that. But yeah, that's where I stand. I think it's difficult. Yeah. It's a great question and a difficult one to ask, and we should definitely.
And I think it's a bigger conversation. I think it's something we can definitely talk about maybe on a podcast separately at some point.
Absolutely, 100%.
Bookmarked.
So Lucy Blake says, how do I blend powder products like bronzer and blush into an unset wet foundation without it going streaky or patchy?
So I would say this depends on what kind of foundation you're using. If you are using a more dewy foundation, a kind of more light reflective that's quite, and anything generally that's more kind of like wet in formula, I would say avoid. I feel like, you know, it's just going to drag. The powder is going to catch in certain areas stronger than others. You're going to end up with quite an uneven finish. For me, I do sometimes go directly onto a foundation if I feel the foundation is a foundation that tends to set, or has perhaps a slightly more satin finish or a matte finish. I can get away with it on certain skin types. I think for me, you know, I don't know if it's a question, Lucy, of not liking powder, but I would definitely recommend perhaps trying something like the Laura Mercier translucent loose powder. That's a great one. Very, very finely milled, very invisible on the skin, but it will just give that separation between the two layers. So you can go in with your powders. It sets the foundation and nothing's going to drag. So yeah, that's how I would answer that one.
Excellent. And while we're talking about foundation, if you could only use one foundation for the rest of your life, which would it be?
Now, we both know we're going to fear answering this, because I feel like I know in my heart of hearts I want to be like, no, I can't commit. But for the sake of said question, I'm going to go with Chanel Vitalumia Aqua for now. I may in six questions time revoke that.
No, this one.
But for now, I'm going to go with Chanel Vitalumia Aqua.
Yeah, for me, I've struggled with it too. I've struggled with it. I think based on how long I've been using it, how many times I've repurchased it, and how reliable it is, it's got to be Armani Luminous Silk.
Yeah.
Because
it's golden oldie.
It's golden oldie. It's, and you know, like 10 years from now, I might say it's NARS Naturally Radiant, because that has replaced Luminous Silk for me in my more regular routine.
At the minute, yeah.
But it's new.
Yeah.
And I've been through endless bottles of Luminous Silk, and even Photo Focus from Wet n Wild. Like, I love that foundation.
Yeah. Very similar.
It's very,
Armani,
very similar to Luminous Silk, and it's an absolute bargain.
Yeah.
If I lost all my foundations and I only had that, I would be perfectly happy.
Yeah.
But it's got to be Luminous Silk.
Fair dues.
It's got to be. Hannah Catherine Kappa wants to know, how do you get makeup to properly set on your face and not slip around? So that kind of relates back to our mixing.
Yeah, I think a good translucent powder or a setting powder with a little bit of colour, and if you like a little bit of extra pigment, a setting spray is always good. And I definitely think opt for kind of thin layers. So, you know, you can build up relatively easily, and it's always easier to add more than it is to take away.
Where do you stand on primers?
I mean, I think, again, I feel another podcast all in itself. I mean, I definitely go backwards and forwards with primers. It's funny, I've just resort out my kit. I've just been resorting through my kit, and I bought loads of little moody things to kind of decant lots of primers to really try and put them through their test again. And I think that will be a tried and tested series at some point on my channel. I do like them. I think there's many that do nothing. And I think, again, it has a lot to do with the skin type that you're applying them to. I think it's kind of, I feel like there's quite a lot of answers to that one. And again, it is a bigger subject. I mean, I'm not opposed to them. I do like them, but I know there is a lot that I've tried where I'm like, I see no difference using them.
Anything. Yeah. Excellent. Well, good to know. I'm learning, because I'm like, how do I keep my makeup on my face, Harold? Next question. Pia Arena Smith.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This wants to know, what was your biggest beauty fail?
My biggest beauty fail. I mean, it's funny because when I look back and I'm like, oh, bless young me. The things that I guess are technically a fail are also like, well, cute, because it's just like me being a teenager. Or like, I remember I was a tomboy for a really long time. And then when I found makeup, I found all the makeup. So it was like, I remember when 17 did those like Christmas palettes where there was like a glitter gel and a silver eyeshadow. And I do remember wearing silver eyeshadow. I mean, I wore no base, to be fair. I wore no foundation. No, I didn't even know what concealer was at that, but like 11. I don't know if I was 11 or 12. I definitely was around that point. Early and starter. I would wear crazy silver eyeshadow with a glitter gel. And keep in mind, back then in the 90s, the gels did not set. We're not talking like cream to like powder. Hair gel with it was like hair gel on my eyes. And I would gel two bits in front. And then the best bit was, because they'd be so hard gelled, I'd flick them off and be like, antennas.
Nice. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. And I look back and I'm like, oh, bless young Harry. Bless you, young you've got Harry. To go through it. Yeah.
See, worryingly, my biggest beauty fail was about 18 months ago.
I was going to say 8 days ago.
Yes, 8 days ago when I bleached off my eyebrow. No, my biggest beauty fail. So I am naturally dark blonde. I bleach it almost platinum. And then I put in a pink tint. Because as is my want. A couple of years ago, I decided... So I wanted to go platinum and my hairdresser wouldn't do it because I'd recently gone from very dark red to blonde. And obviously that took a massive toll on my hair. It took like 18 hours in total to do it. She was like, we're not doing anything else. Leave it alone. So what I was like, oh, in that case, if she won't go platinum... And I couldn't get any pink to take. I just really wanted to go pink and it wouldn't take. So I dyed it blue. But I did it with like a shampoo color. Like it wasn't like a dye. It was like a wash in, wash out conditioner thing. Except it did not wash in, wash out. It just went green. And I had blue green hair.
Amazing.
For like 3 weeks. And I was so depressed because it wouldn't wash out. That I was like, okay. And it didn't look terrible. It just looked blue. And it just wasn't my color, which is crazy because I wear a lot of blue because I love it. Yeah. But on my against my skin, it just looked terrible. So, and because I guess because it went kind of green. So what I decided to do in my ultimate wisdom, did tons and tons of research and was like, I'll do a bleach wash, which is just a very, very, very diluted bleach. Anyone that knows, it's just like a shampoo, but with bleach mixed in and it just strips out any remaining color. It should just take it back to what it was. It went orange.
Oh, no.
It went orange. So I then spent an entire day trying to fix it myself with like toners, purple conditioner. I went through like half a tub of the Christoph Robin baby blonde conditioner, which is obscenely expensive. And it in the end, I got it back to sort of like this almost sunset thing. So it was like orangey-ish in the back and on the ends and then sort of a warmer to paler blonde around the front. And I kept like properly trying to sell it like I'd done it on purpose. And a couple of people was like, oh, your hair looks amazing. Where did you do this? And I burst into tears and be like, I ruined my own hair. And then eventually I had to go and see my hairdresser and fess up. And she just laughed because she's amazing. And she was like, well, I guess we're going platinum now, aren't we? And I was like, yay! So it all worked out in the end. But between the blue green and then the orange, dear God, it looked so bad. So like, guys, just...
You've been warned.
Don't do it. I mean, I'm always with hair. I'm always like, it's just hair. It will always grow out and someone can fix it.
Yeah.
But just know yourself.
I have got one more actually now about hair. I remember being 13, maybe 14. And truth be told, I had a tash. Nice. Some of us do. And at 14, I didn't want to have a tash. I know, especially when I was hormonal, it would go even darker. So I Jolened it one day and I thought that was the answer. And I remember looking in my mum's like the car mirror in the sunlight and I had a twinkly tash.
Oh, God.
And it had gone like really yellow. And I was like, it's just going to have to come off. Yeah, and that's what happened next. But yeah, that just reminded me of that, like thinking I'd done the Jolen. I was like, yeah, you can't see it. Great. And then I remember being in the sunlight and it was like really twinkly. And I was like, oh, there you are.
Hiya, Harry.
Yeah, oh, so God. Just remembered that one to add into the mix.
So we've all been there, you guys. So Jenny Peace, big fan from the Facebook page. We know you, Jenny. We love you. Jenny is in California in September. What beauty stores does she need to visit?
Well, Ulta.
Ulta.
That's a given. Sephora. I mean, Sephora, just because I feel like the ones in Europe even don't have half the stuff we have.
You got it. It doesn't specifically say LA, but I'm going to assume LA because I want to send you to Violet Grey.
Yeah, I was going to say Violet Grey. If you're feeling up for like a proper beauty road trip, I would say do Naimi's, Nigel's, because you'll get all kinds of fun stuff in there. Where else should she go, Lindsay? I like that little one in Silver Lake. What is it called?
Oh, the La Pink?
Yes, that's really cute. La Pink Apothecary,
that's really lovely. Yeah. That's near me. Credo, as I mentioned earlier, is a new store in Los Angeles. There's a couple. It's all natural beauty, but they have like Jane Iredale.
Riley Rose. You've got to find a Riley Rose.
It is the bomb.
So cute.
It's the best. You've got to. And I said the bomb unironically, and I can't even believe it, but because it is. It's gorgeous. You've got to go to Riley Rose. Remind us again closer to the time, because like we'll probably be at
we'll
one
hit
of those
you
places.
Up. Yeah.
Yeah. But there's so many and they're so good. Okay. Victoria Island says, any tips, products for eyeliner to go smoothly on the top eyelid? And there any eye cream recommendations, and is eye cream worth the bother?
I mean, what you can do if your eyeliner is, I know when it's cold, sometimes pencil liner does go quite hard if you were talking about pencil. I'm not sure if we are or not, but I'm going to presume. So you can always just like warm it up on the back of your hand a little bit so it goes a little bit smoother. You can even dot a tiny bit of facial oil on the top if it's like rock solid. Sometimes I have lip pencils or eye pencils that are like completely dried out, and just like a dot of oil kind of rubbed in almost makes it more emollient again. Obviously, then it's not necessarily going to stay in place as well or set as much. I'm thinking if you want it more kind of smoky. Again, I think look at the formula you're using. If you're looking for something to smoothly apply, you want a Kohl. I would avoid something that's kind of like a long wear, or you know, obviously long wear is fine as long as you get some playtime and then it locks into place, but definitely something like a Kohl is going to glide along a little bit easier.
And I think my tip, if you are talking about liquid or gel pot or anything like that, is always if we may be completely misunderstanding your question because we're quite stupid, but if you're just struggling to get a smooth line, I find resting my elbow on a surface and using a mirror that I can look directly into a mirror, that really helps me, because my eyeliner is never straight, and when it's never straight I just smoke it out and run with it and be like, it was supposed to be smoky, bitches. What are you gonna do about it? Okay, Rosa West says, wedding foundation. I'm at a wedding in Bordeaux in July, so I want something that won't slide, but I still love a glow.
Okay, so a new one I've been testing out that I'm quite excited to tell you guys about is one from Lord & Berry, and it's called Cream Foundation, no SPF. I would love there to be more shades, I'm not going to lie, but it's a very nice one for weddings or special occasions. You don't have to worry about flash photography. I think the new Sunday Riley one's going to be good when that comes out, because there's no SPF if you want a more matte foundation. You can never go wrong with Armani Luminous Silk.
Yeah.
That is your I mean, for weddings, most of the times, that's what I would use or recommend to friends who are getting married and want to do their own makeup. I know the Makeup Forever HD, that can be quite nice for like special occasions as well. What else do I like? I mean, if you have really dry skin, I also really like the Tom Ford foundation stick. That's very nice. Yeah. It's really highly emollient if you have really, really dry kind of flaky skin.
Even the new Bobbi Brown longwear. If you have an oilier skin, I'd go with that because that's quite dry, but it does stick around.
Yeah, that's a good point. Or the NARS, around. Even the new NARS one, the longwear. That would so be great pretty. For weddings too. So
and
Sweaty spray. You definitely don't want sweaty spray.
Don't want a sweaty spray or a spetting spray. You want a setting spray. And I always say this because I see it come up time and time again in bridal recommendations. Don't get the radiant setting sprays.
No.
All that means is it's glittery.
Yeah, don't, for the love of
God. You're not
do
a vampire
that.
From Twilight.
No,
don't
just
do
stick
that to yourself.
Stick with Urban Decay All Nighter.
Yeah, they
and,
can't
And they
go
even
wrong.
Do a vegan one now. So there's like options, like every kind of skin type, I think, covered with the Urban Decay ones.
Get it. Hannah Settle says, when you were younger, was there a product that you coveted and lusted after that belonged to a grown-up? Mine was Benefit's Dr. Feelgood and an Estee Lauder limited edition pure color lips. It belonged to my aunt. She would love to know ours.
Oh, it's funny actually, because now I'm like, now I've got a lot of love for Benefit, because mine was my mom's Hoola. I remember she had the Hoola bronzer, and Benefit in general, it was like a really fancy brand when I was a kid. It was like my mum had the Dr. Feelgood and those kind of, and I think she had the rosy tint. What was it? The cheek tint.
Benetint,
that's the one. Yeah. And she had quite a couple of the products, and I just always loved them. I guess as a kid, it almost looked like, because of the packaging, it was like, oh, it's for grown-ups, but it's still appealing to me. Yeah. It was kind of like, so that, I'd say it's probably that was what I remember from
childhood. Mine would have been Benefit Bad Gal pencil.
Oh yes, that was
neon pink pencil with the black,
yeah,
and it was just a big black giant amazing rock and roll pencil, and I thought it was so sexy and so cool.
Agreed.
And I wanted that so badly. And then god, probably all the Urban Decay stuff, like that was Urban Decay and Benefit was totally my gateway into wanting it, instead of just seeing it belong to someone else and seeing specific products. Like I remember my mum's and my aunt's and my nan's makeup, but I don't remember specific products, but I remember that Bad Gal pencil, I remember the Urban Decay lip gunks and the face cases, and just thinking they were the coolest things I'd ever seen. Oh, actually, maybe Maybelline Great Lash Mascara.
Yeah,
I do remember thinking that must have been like, I wanted it so badly, I made my dad bring it back from a trip to America. And he brought me back like a brown one, and I was devastated.
Oh, that is the worst.
What an absolute bastard. And he brought back the waterproof, so it wasn't pink and green, it was the wrong colours. So I was so heartbroken.
This is not what the Nylon Pretty book has shown me.
Jesus, I mean, Paul, get it together. Anyway, Louisa Boyce has a great question. Would you rather never use a razor or tweezers ever again?
Wait, hang on. Which one would I rather never use?
Yeah, so you've got to throw one in the bin and never have it back.
Tweezers.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
It's a good question, though.
It's a really good question.
Because I probably had to think
about
it. You
guys are on fire today.
Yeah, because I was like, you know what? I feel like I could just make dodgy eyebrows work, or I could cover up strays with concealer,
and also,
or I could shave them.
I was going to say, you could...
I don't think anyone would ever want to let me have a razor blade near my eyes. But
I'm like, that's an option.
Yeah, as lazy as I am about shaving my legs, Anna does like shaving.
But I love the feeling of my legs when they've been shaved. Yeah. I love silky smooth legs.
It makes me feel like I've made an effort.
In my head, I can just hear, I'm your Venus, I'm your fire, your desire.
Anyway. Erin Sally Norris says, could you recommend a cream blusher? Any particular brands that do them well? Something that ideally something to be purchased on the high street, whether it's high end or high street.
Where do I start? I feel like I could give you umpteen suggestions for this one. High street, I feel like it should be like, go. Revlon. I feel like Barry M does great, like the sticks. What?
Who knows? I'm
Barry Scott.
Barry. That's still lip bang.
Okay, back to the question. I feel like Barry M does really nice blush sticks that are very comparable to the Charlotte Tilbury ones. They're like a really good dupe for when Charlotte did the beach sticks.
Yes.
Cream blush, Revlon does really nice ones. Max Factor does great ones. If you want to go a little bit higher in price, you can't go wrong with RMS. They do beautiful formulations. I mean, really, I feel like we're really spoiled now for cream products. Like they're really having their moment. Everyone is, you know, wants the glow, and you can really enhance that even more so with a cream blush. So lots of options.
This is a very good one. Marianne Jane Shepherd says, it's separated into a question for me and a question for Harry.
Oh.
So Harry's question is, top three lipsticks ever.
Okay. Charlotte Tilbury Bitch Perfect.
Nice.
Burberry, I think it's called Peach Nude or Nude Peach, maybe.
It's Peach and it's Nude and it's by Burberry.
And then NARS Cruella.
Oh.
Velvet matte pencil. Go, Kelk.
So mine is top three highlighters ever.
Oh.
And this is really hard.
Go, finish.
So if it was off the top of my head, and I'll regret it forever because there'll be ones that I don't think of, but it would be for sure the Hourglass Vanish flash highlighter sticks that are new, but I have not been without them. I absolutely adore them. It would be the Cover FX Custom Cover Drops because I think they are so versatile, and you can go from the tiniest hint of glow to blinding sexy robot in 10 seconds flat. And then I want to say a powder, but like actually, I think it would probably be Glossier Haloscope.
Oh, good.
Because I really like it.
Yeah,
I mean, it would be that or Dewy Stick. I'm cheating as four because Dewy Stick is a completely different finish to the other two.
Yeah.
Whereas I feel like I could achieve the Haloscope finish with a custom cover finish or the Hourglass stick.
All right.
So maybe it would be Dewy Stick.
Well done.
But if I had to have a backup, I'll stop. Anyway, thank you. That was very good. You've broken my heart because now I just want to go and hold all my other highlighters and tell them that I love them. Okay. Ooh, this is a really good one. Florine Troen says, if you had to own makeup from only one brand, which would it be?
Oh, that's a good question.
That's really hard.
And it's for us to wear, not for like...
Yeah, no, just for you forever and ever.
My mind's telling me Tom Ford, but my body is telling me...
Oh, it's hard.
Oh, it's hard. Is telling me it's coming. It's coming. Maybe even NARS.
Oh,
I feel like I could cover a lot of scope with NARS.
A lot of bases with NARS. I know my heart immediately said Hourglass because I love so many of their products. But then I was like, I don't know if I've got a mascara from there.
Yeah.
And mascara's my thing.
Yeah.
Whereas I'm like, yes, blush, yes, highlight, yes, powders, yes, foundation. But then I was like, the thing that's missing there for me, the glaring error is mascara. And then that took me weirdly, this will be doing this all day, maybe even to L'Oreal.
Interesting.
Because I just think, I haven't got the heart-beating joy of prestige brand there.
Yeah.
But if you could have
I went, Tom Ford.
Tom Ford. Well, and I thought about Tom Ford, but then I was like, well, actually, there's not that, I'm not that in love with the Tom Ford foundation. Like, I like the stick, but it's not great for me.
Yeah.
Whereas I know there's stuff in L'Oreal that I can work through across every spectrum.
Mm.
I think they're doing so well right now. Like their highlighters, they've just done sort of a very similar to the Cover FX custom color drop that I love. And that's beautiful. Lash Paradise is my go-to mascara, live and die.
Yeah.
Their True Match pressed powder is my HG pressed powder.
Yeah.
So, yeah, maybe it'll be L'Oreal, which I'm surprised at. Because I was like, Urban Decay, NARS, Chanel, anyone else.
I'm going to think of like three
even
more.
Even Dior, actually, maybe Dior, I don't know.
See, we can't commit.
Because I can't get away without
We're
my
learning
lip glow.
We have commitment issues when it comes to makeup.
We've got problems. Thanks for highlighting them, Florine. Lizzie Beach, what was the first makeup item you remember purchasing?
Mine would be cheap makeup from the market or our beloved Natural Collection lip balm. Is it Sugar Plum? What was it called?
Yeah, Sugar Plum, yeah.
Yeah, probably
that's
that
what
one.
I was going to say. It was either my Constance Kroll
tropical
lip gloss off the market for a quid, if that, or Boots Natural Collection, the lip balm in Sugar Plum, and I had the Red Currant as well.
Yeah,
I thought
that's pretty much.
And I can smell and taste them both right now.
I can.
And then she also wants to know, what was your first high-end makeup purchase?
I feel like I didn't purchase it. It was given to me. So I'm like, okay, what was the first thing I brought? I can't remember. I remember the first expensive it was given to me, which was a Chanel eyeshadow by my mum's friend.
We talked about that. I think I was very jealous. mine, I think we talked about this before too, but it's such a clear memory. When I was at uni and I had got money in my hands for the first time my entire life, I obviously went and shit it all up at the wall on makeup. I went to the Estee Lauder counter in Boots in Nottingham at the department store on Market Square, the big one that used to be on the corner of Market Square. And they had a gift with purchase at Estee Lauder. If you bought two things, you got tons of stuff. So I bought two Estee Lauder lipsticks, and they were like the big heavy gold casing with the fluted casing. That at the time were like such old lady lipsticks, but now they look exactly like Charlotte Tilbury.
Yeah.
Just like gold instead of rose gold. And I remember them so clearly. I loved them so much. Man. Manon Berger wants to know, what's the best tubing mascara? Any tips on keeping the curl in place after applying mascara?
See, I always thought I didn't use tubing mascara until I listened to the Sally interview, and she talked about her Clinique ones, and I believe Lash Power, think, is a tubing mascara, and yet I've always taken off a waterproof eye makeup remover, so the joke's on me. So in regards to that, as makeup artist, I should know this question. But again, I think because I'm always quite thorough with makeup remover, I never kind of rely on just water.
Yeah.
So I don't think I'm actually the best one to answer this.
I would say I've been through real tubing mascara phases. I loved Blink when it first came out because I think they were the original. At least they're the people I associate with it. Yeah. And I still think they're really great. And I love Lash Power. I just, there's something about tubing mascara that I actually consider to be magic.
Yeah.
That you just apply it and then you press a warm washcloth across your wet warm washcloth and it just slides off.
Yeah.
How is that possible? Magic. It's so amazing. And for me, that's Clinique Lash Power for sure. With regards to keeping the curl in place, I think it's just making the most of your curler, right?
I mean, I'm will forever be with an eyelash curler. I mean, if you want something more intense, more long-lasting, LVL is great. The eyelash lift, you can get those in, quite a few beauticians do them.
Hearing about them more and more lately.
Yeah, I've done it. I really like the effect. I definitely feel like it almost flips your lashes upwards. So it's not really a curl. It's literally like a lift. Like it literally lifts them up, but it makes you look very wide-eyed. You'll have way more lashes than what you realized you did. And if you get the tint with it as well, that's great for holidays.
Yeah.
Great if you don't have time for mascara. I really recommend that treatment. I've had that a few times and love it.
Okay, good to know. Nicola Smith adds to this by asking, what is a tubing mascara? Good question, Nicola. It is a mascara that rather than just painting or tinting your lashes a colour, it actually, the fibres in the mascara, don't ask us how the witchcraft is because you know we don't know, but it creates little tiny tubes that surround each individual lash. So rather than tinting them, you are basically wrapping a tube of pigment around each lash. So when you remove it, you can just with warm, I don't say hand hot, it's got to be warmish, but not so hot that you would scald your face. Warm water on a wet washcloth and then just slide it up over your eyes and it removes the tubes.
Magic.
It's magic. It's amazing. Charlie Makepeace wants to know, what kind of brands products Harry would use in her kit, but not personally?
Oh, that's a good question. Mm. I mean, there's nothing I wouldn't use in my kit that I wouldn't use on myself. I feel like when I talk about distinguishing products between my kit and myself, it's more just out of once they're in the kit, I can never be bothered to get them out to use on myself. It's just like a lost pit in there.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's nothing that obviously, for me, it has to be tested on me before it goes into my kit anyway, often, unless I know that I'm working with someone, for example, where they already use said product and they're like, oh, can you make sure you have this? Or, you know, they have it when I work with them anyway. So it's just a product I know I use with them because they like it. I don't think there is one. Is the short answer to that?
There we go. Next question. There are so many. We are going to have to miss out a few, but when we don't answer, we'll try and answer on the website or on the site. Oh, good gosh, there's so many. Sean and Marie Brennan wants to know how much we spend a month on beauty, and quite frankly, I'm about to file my taxes and there's no way on God's green earth am I
I've just
that
done
one.
My taxes. It was a lot.
It was an awful lot. Sean also wants to know, what's been your favorite makeup trend?
Skin. I just love skin. I feel like I love freckles. I love that look when you've been on holiday and your nose is a little bit burnt and like everything looks a bit pink and you've got color back in your skin and you feel healthy even though you've eaten loads and drank loads but you've had the best time. But then also, I mean, I'm loving pink eyeshadow at the minute. I'm so loving that, and I know for me, even like glossy eyelids, I always go back to, even in editorial work I do. So I feel like everything is just a reincarnation of things that have already happened anyway. So again, I think makeup is very dependent on my mood, and I think it always changes for me.
Yeah. Highlight.
Highlighter.
I do. I mean, I like lots of things, but if we're thinking about trends, you know, that things that have come and weren't around before, it's going to be highlighter.
Yeah.
It makes me so happy in all of its many forms.
Yeah.
It just gives me joy.
It's a little pocket of happiness.
Just a pocket of happiness. That's, and we all need does, those though. From time to time.
Oh, we do.
We do. Alexandra Medina wants to know, which YouTube influencers do we watch, if any?
Oh, that's a good question. I watch a real mix. I love people like Nadine Baggett, Caroline Hirons, obviously, for, you know, a wealth of information and really understanding products and not just how to use them, but why they're working, what actives look for, etc. And, you know, really the technology that's up and coming within skincare in particular. I really enjoy for creativity. I love, I think she's called Jana 2. She's an amazing makeup artist, does it primarily on herself, every now and then sometimes other people, but she's a videographer as well. So her whole approach to YouTube is what I wish I could do if I knew how to edit like her. Like, it's so beautiful. I love Violet FR. I think what she's doing right now is so refreshing in the beauty industry. I love her approach to makeup. I think, again, it's always changing. There's always new people coming through, but they're the ones kind of my go-tos at the minute.
Yeah, I would echo a lot of those. Nadine, for sure. Caroline, for sure. I really like Em at My Pale Skin.
Yeah, she does great.
I love
pieces.
What she's done, especially when I was suffering very badly with acne. I loved watching her videos, not just because she has acne, but because she's not ashamed, and she wasn't saying, like, this is how I cover up to leave the house. It was just like, I have acne, that's part of it, carry on. I love her. I think she's fantastic. I'm a sucker for a Tati review because she makes me laugh.
Tati's my guilty pleasure.
Yeah, I know. And I'm like, I can't watch the unboxing videos anymore. That's
no,
just
I can't
me.
Do the PR unboxing
I've
videos.
I really had to walk away from that.
But I like her reviews. I like how she's, you know, she checks, she gives a very in-depth review of many of the products.
And then my new go-to, which I didn't even realize how bad it was until I saw him tweeting about, am I going to upload this tonight or tomorrow morning on his new video the other day? And I was like, upload it now. And that is Manny. And I have got such a beauty crush on Manny. I'm in love with him. I just want to watch every video. I was like, oh, Harry, we need to start incorporating this. Like, if you don't like it, don't fucking listen to it.
I know.
It makes me so happy.
He just looks like he's having the best time.
I just love how he is, like, to quote a lot of annoying 2018 speak, he feel like he's so authentic and truly himself, and he's not trying to be anything else. And I do think he's honest. I have bought things he's recommended. I think he's great, and I love him, and I want more Manny's in this world.
More Manny,
please. Oh, I'd love to have Manny on the podcast.
Come on, Manny.
It would need
you
such
know
a
you want to.
R rating, but I would love it so much. Not for sexy times, just for the language, but I would love him
There'd
so much.
There'd be a lot of lube jokes.
Oh,
that.
My God,
you know
all
it.
Of them. I love him
all
so
the
much.
Jokes.
And bring your doggy. I love him. Anyway. Charlie Makepeace. We're only going to answer a couple more because we're running out of time and we've literally still got stacks. So we're going to have to do a part two, potentially 3 or 4 on this, or maybe a special episode for the podcast group. We'll let you know. Charlie Makepeace wants to know, if there was going to be a full coverage collaboration with a brand or a range, what would we want it to be? She has guessed Sexy Robot Highlight and a Smudge Proof Mascara. I think that goes without saying. you're quite right. But Harry, if you could create a range, what would it look like? What would it be?
Who knows? I feel like I love what Pixie Woo have done with Real Techniques. I love the fact they kind of just stuck with brushes and tools and they've really like run with it. Like, I feel like they're doing it so well. You can watch pretty much any YouTube video in any country and someone will have a Real Techniques brush. Yeah. You know, they're products that are affordable, easy to get hold of. They work. I don't know. I mean, it's one of those things that, you know, I love what Glossier did. I feel like they've done such a clever thing. I love what Lixia's doing, you know, but I also love Chanel. Like, there's so many crossovers with where my aesthetic is met, both within packaging and the products. I love what Ray Morris does with her brushes, like, just makes really beautiful tools. So I honestly don't know. Like, it's one of those questions that I'm like, again, I think because we're in such a digital space now as well, I think there's more a focus on things like digital products. So, like, I have my e-courses that I made, you know, so putting kind of time into those as well, and like education in a sense, as opposed to just something to buy to have. And for me, I love empowering other women. I love it when people find makeup and they suddenly like, oh my God, this is so much fun. I feel amazing. Or, you know, find a way to express themselves. Yeah. That for me is the real joy of it. But yeah, I don't feel like I see it. I don't see a vision in my head where I'm like, this is what it looked like.
I think I would find it so hard to make the choices of what I would want, because same thing, like I wouldn't want anyone to feel excluded. I would want it to be completely inclusive. But it would be so hard to figure out what that looks like. I think someone I think is doing it extremely well is Sona Gasparian of Simply Sona and her Persona Cosmetics line. She made the Identity palette last year, which I thought was exceptional. It was beautiful quality. The pictures were all fantastic. And the colors were all fantastic. And I think it worked on probably all skin tones. And then she's just dropped her second range, which is three highlighters. So there's a highlight, again, different undertones, so it works for all skin tones. I think that's fantastic. I really think I'd go somewhere like that. So I was creating, it would be very, very extremely tightly edited and curated, one product at a time. And something that everyone could enjoy and use without feeling excluded. I don't think I would ever touch base or concealer or anything like that.
Yeah.
I think it's too hard.
Yeah. And if you're going to do it, you've got to do it so well, because you know everyone's going to.
And it's been done. It's being done so well right now. I don't think I would want to touch it. I think I would want to play in the world of color and fun color, just like really fun, easy to wear, can't mess it up, no wrong way to do it product. I think that's where I'd be.
Good to know.
And we're gonna have to wrap it up, because we've literally
we've talked for like five questions and we'll save the rest for another time.
And we've got like another 15 pages, so we're gonna save these away for the next time, and we'll definitely work through the rest of them sooner or later. But now, guys, now it's time for
highlight of the week.
Yes, so it just makes me so happy.
Fun times.
Joyous. Harry, what's your highlight?
My highlight this week, I didn't tell Lindsay what it was when I walked in. I was like, it's a mascara.
She won't tell me. She just said it's a mascara.
And this totally took me by surprise. I had a trial size of it gifted to me, I think, when I'd brought something else from the brand. And I'd popped it in my little travel, in my travel bag. I keep all my miniatures. It is YSL Le Choc mascara.
I love this.
Yes.
Oh my God. Oh my God. I can't believe you didn't tell me. It's like my favorite.
I'm also late to the party because I had a mini of it and I was like, oh, this is probably going to make me have panda eyes, but I can't bother to put a full size mascara in my makeup bag because that means I can't bring the rest of the makeup that I want to bring. So I popped it in. I used it the whole time I was in England for 2 weeks.
Son of a.
And I bloody loved it.
I can't believe you didn't tell me.
I'm really quite surprised. It's definitely volume. I feel like it gives intense lashes. I do feel like come like 6 p.m. I start to get a little bit of shadowing, but no way near panda eyes what I've experienced with other mascaras. And, you know, it's nothing that I can't kind of like sweep up with my finger. It's not like it fully stains and goes really full on. It's a nice black intense lash. I feel like it holds a curl. It's thickening. It's wonderful. And I'm really excited to find another easy to get a hold of mascara I love.
Yay, I really love it too. That makes me happy.
Yeah.
Yay.
Didn't see that coming, did you?
Didn't see it coming. She's sly. She's a sly one.
What's your one?
My one is something that I've been shouting about a lot on social media. It's so rare for me, and it's actually really hard for me to choose a skincare item because I'm like, it's not sexy, it's not fun. But my skin has been so good lately, and I struggle with adult acne. I struggle when I travel. My skin is up and down. I've been traveling a lot lately to different climates. Sounds really fancy. It's actually just LA and England, and they're very different. but I've been traveling, and I, touch wood, haven't even had hormonal breakouts, which is bonkers. And I know that skincare can't really affect that. But when I do get hormonal breakouts, I get really, really bad scarring because I'm so fair. Whenever I get a big, angry hormonal spot, I get a scar for a long time. So I was given this by a PR. This was sent to us. It's the Skin-esque Enzyme Washing Powder. It sounds like for your,
I like that.
For your
washing
machine.
Powder.
It's not. It's for your face. And I was like, yeah, whatever. I took it with a grain of salt. I'm so dedicated to my Elemis cleansing balm. And I was like, well, I'll throw this in as the second cleanse because I swap and change my second cleanse all the time. And then I liked it. I was like, oh, yeah, it's okay. And then I was going away. So I was like, oh, actually, this is a good one to pack because I'm going away because it's not liquid. So I can put it in my hand luggage and I'll know I have it, even if my case gets lost, which has only happened to me once. And yet it is the greatest fear of my whole life. and I used it for sort of 3 weeks straight. And I haven't stopped using it. I've got about a quarter of the bottle left and I've just ordered two new ones.
That good, you ordered more already.
Yeah, because I don't want to run out of it It is so good. My skin is clearer. My skin is fresher. It feels, it's one of those powders. So you shake a little bit out into the palm of your hand. And then the best way to use it is to, I shake it out into my left hand. Then I run my right hand under the tap. So it's wet, but not dripping wet.
Yeah.
And then just rub my two hands together to create a cleanser. So the great thing about it being the powder, you can make it a little bit thicker.
Yeah.
And you can almost, I mean, it doesn't say to leave it on as a mask. Maybe you shouldn't, but sometimes I'll leave it on a little bit longer and really massage it in because it feels gorgeous to massage into the skin. And I really feel like those enzymes are like yum, 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 eating away all the dead skin. It's just so fantastic. I use it as my second cleanse and my morning cleanse. I believe it's an enzymatic cleanser, so it's a chemical cleanser. I want to say it's papaya, but I've lost the press release, so I'm an idiot. It's either papaya or pineapple, because I remember going like, my skin loves both those things. It's available online at skinesse.com, and I think it was $30. There's like a 10% off with your first purchase.
That's affordable, yeah.
Yeah, so it's not that expensive at all. It's not, I believe it's currently not available in the UK.
Right.
So I'm trying to find that out for you. This is gorgeous. I've double bought it. I cannot say enough good things about it. So many people messaged me while I was in the UK and on Instagram stories a lot saying like, what are you doing to your skin? What are you doing to your skin?
Oh,
and
nice.
This is the only thing that's new. It's the only thing that's new in my regime. So I'm super, super into it. Love it so much.
Happy days.
I think we've got more skincare to talk about. Well, who even are we?
I think we've got a joint highlight that we're both really excited about.
Yeah.
So our joint highlight is Lixia.
Yes.
And we're kind of, I mean, which would you say is your favorite of all the ones you've been trying at the minute?
We were given, correct me if I'm wrong, the vitamin C paste, the electrogel cleanser.
Yes, electrogel cleanser.
And the universal emulsion, which is the moisturizer. I haven't used the cleanser because I've been using this as my second cleanser, Skinesque, full disclosure. But I've been told it's very good. But I have been using the vitamin C paste daily, I would say, for the last 2 weeks. And I have used the emulsion, the universal emulsion, 3 or 4 times as a day moisturizer. And I have to say, the vitamin C paste is now, I'm making this official, I'm giving it full coverage, official stamp, my current favorite vitamin C product that I have used in time. I love
it. That's quite a statement.
It is. Well, I think vitamin C is so hard because it's so hard to keep stable and so many come in droppers, and I hate these things in droppers because they go bad before you can use them all up. It's relatively affordable. I think it's £32 for the 50ml tube, which is what I've got. And that's going to last a while because you only use sort of a pea-sized blob, and that does my whole face and neck. It doesn't irritate my skin. I personally feel like it smells a little bit like bottom. I know that doesn't bother you. And the smell goes away right away.
Yeah.
I feel like it doesn't sit on top of the skin. Like I used to like the ordinary vitamin C suspensions, but they didn't absorb well into the skin. They either felt gritty or they felt too silicony and they didn't absorb well.
Yeah.
This takes a second to massage in and then it's gone.
Yeah.
And I love it.
Yeah.
What about you?
I feel like, I mean, I'm trying to do all three rigorously so that I'm actually testing the efficacy of them all together. I feel like the emulsion, I just love as a brand, actually, the concept of, you know, not necessarily needing an eye cream or a neck cream. It's just very simplistic, but effective. I love the emulsion. I definitely am loving the electrogel in the evening. Like, I'm really enjoying that
and
with the washcloth.
You can use that as a mask as well, right?
Yeah, you can. I mean, you leave it on only for 1 minute if it's not a mask, and I think 3 minutes if it is a mask. So even as a proper mask, it's not like she's asking you to spend loads of time. And it's formulated by, I think it's Colette.
It is Colette.
It is definitely That's Colette. Right. Hayden. I believe it's Hayden. Colette Hayden. I've written a blog post all about it, actually, in more detail on the blog, which is just harrymakesitup.com. If you want to go and see that, where I explain each product in kind of full disclosure of what they are, what they do, and what I think about them. So the founder, Colette, you may know her work. You probably already have products that she has in your bathroom somewhere. She's worked with many well-known brands, making some of like the best-selling formulas out there. So I think it's nice that she's been able to do something on her own terms without a brand having to be like, we want X, Y, and Z. She's just been able to make something that she wanted that's really effective and simplistic. And I like that. I think skincare sometimes can get a bit overwhelming and yes. feel like it's more difficult than it needs to be for the sake of yep. feeling like it's more fancy. So I love this simplistic approach. I love that it... And it is kind of like a does what it says on the tin brand.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes,
the packaging is gorgeous. Not going to lie. That is definitely a positive. I feel like it's style and substance. And for me, that's a win.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with it. I was curious because I'd seen the packaging and enjoyed it. And then when I talked to Sally and Sally was full of praise for yeah. it. And I know she, you know, obviously Sally gets bleeding yeah. everything. She could test everything from yeah. Superdrug lines to La Mer to whatever you want to call it. And she really liked it. So yeah, I was keen to get it on my face. And as I say, primarily I've used the vitamin C paste. I will repurchase it yeah. in a heartbeat. Yeah. I will not question it. I feel like there are so few things I repurchase because we get sent so
yeah,
much.
Yeah, that's true.
And it tends to be skincare where I go into a repurchasing mode because I do have problematic skin. So I will always get the Elemis cleansing balm. I've bought 2 bottles of the Skinesque in fear of it going yeah. away or me running out. And I will definitely get this vitamin C paste. I like the moisturizer. I'm not overwhelmed by it because I've yeah. just, it may not be heavy enough for my skin out here because I get so dehydrated. Yeah. But I like it as a daytime.
I'm going to try and get the night switch to put into it. I want to try adding the night
switch.
Which
one? Because I noticed there's three.
I need to remember which one it is.
There's
I think
a retinol,
it's the,
there's an AHA and there's a BHA.
Well, and there's, I think one has PHA.
Well,
with
there's AHA, PHA. There's PHA slash
AHA. It gets
AHA.
So confusing, that's it, yeah.
Sorry, it's not confusing you guys, it's amazing.
And she does say on the bottle what they're all for,
serums,
so I just can't
yeah.
remember
one
what.
One is retinol, one is an exfoliating
like an exfoliator.
AHA, PHA, and one is for congested skin, which is the AHA, BHA.
Yes, I think, I mean, at the minute, I definitely need the congested skin because I've got quite a few blackheads coming from where I've been yeah. traveling. And I like the fact as well, she does actually say with the night switches, you should use one like the whole time before yeah. you then switch up to the next night switch. So maybe I'll try that one first and see yeah. how I get on. Just see if that kind of does amp up the moisturizer.
No, I just think it's a perfectly executed range. It looks beautiful. It performs beautifully. It's by a doctor.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's someone who knows what they're doing.
She
yeah,
knows
exactly.
what she's doing. She's not trying to upsell you anything. Yeah, just a massive, massive fan of it. So yeah. well done, Lixit. It's another, I mean, they don't need any more thumbs up. They've got all the thumbs up. But it's another thumbs up from us. So thank you very much.
It's a win.
So we just want to say thank you very much to everyone for listening. Thank you to everyone who's joined our Facebook group. Please come and join us. Check it out. It's fun. If you want to contact us, we are at Full Coverage Pod on Instagram and on Twitter. We are at Full Coverage Podcast on Facebook. We're everywhere. Just look for Full Coverage Podcast. It's almost certainly us. If it isn't, let us know.
That would be a bit worrying.
Slightly concerned. And you can always email us your questions. hello@fullcoveragepodcast.com. We will get to those questions and we will reply to you. We promise. If you really loved us, what could they do, Harry?
You could leave us some stars and jazz hands. Like, I'm totally fine with jazz hands. Preferably 5 stars would be amazing. It helps the yeah. podcast massively, helps people find us. And if you would like to leave us a lovely review, that would be yeah. awesome.
So just pop on over to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your podcasts and leave us that wee review and those 5 tiny stars.
Yeah.
It's just 5 tiny stars. They're
please.
Just little ones. But we would really like them. Thank you very much. Please, thank you. And that's it from us this week.
That's it. Thank you so, so much for listening, guys. We'll be back again in another 2 weeks with yet another podcast. Until then, look after yourselves and each other.
And each other.
I couldn't help myself. I'm sorry.
She can't help herself. We'll be back. Next time we've got part 2 of the Sally Hughes interview. So look out for that. And we'll speak to you soon.
Bye.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.